A lot of us remember when times were a lot better. Everything was better, as a matter of fact. And nowadays, those who want to destroy everything good about this country tell us that it really wasn't as good as we remember it, that something is wrong with our memory. I'm here to tell you that's not the case. Tonight, we're going to remember when. So, folks, let's take a trip on the time machine. Let's go back. Let's go back. I want you all to sit down, get comfortable, and close your eyes and go back. Go back with me. And if you don't remember this time, then just close your eyes and listen to me, because you're going to be amazed. So let's go back now, folks. Just sit down, get comfortable, close your eyes, and go back. We're going to go back before the internet or the Macintosh, before semi-automatics and crack. We're going to go back, folks, before Chronic and Endo, before Sega, before Super Nintendo. And believe it or not, some of us can remember that far back. But you see, we're not we're not going to stop there, because that's not where we're going, folks. We're going way back. We're going way back. I'm talking about hide and go seek at dusk, sitting on the porch, hot homemade bread and real butter, the ice cream man. Simon Says, kick the can. That was a big one in my neighborhood. Red light, green light, lunch boxes with a thermos that always broke. Chocolate milk, lunch tickets, when you can actually buy candy for a penny from the corner store. When the girls played hopscotch, butterscotch, skates that had keys, jacks, marbles, kickball, dodgeball, Dixie Peach, and Bonnie Doon socks. Remember Mother May I? Remember hula hoops and sunflower seeds, whist and old maid and crazy eights? Remember wax lips and mustaches? Mary Jane's, saddle Oxfords, we call them saddle shoes, and Coke bottles with the names of cities on the bottom. Remember running through the sprinkler? Circle pins, bobby pins, Mickey Mouse Club, Crusader Rabbit, Rocky and Bullwinkle, Fran and Ollie. Actually, Kukla, Fran and Ollie. Remember the series Ben and Marty that we just couldn't miss? And it was all in black and white. And we only spent maybe a half hour or an hour watching television when it was allowed. Catching lightning bugs in a jar, playing with your slingshot, and then going to the skating rink and playing slingshot? Remember when around the corner seemed like a long, long way away? And going downtown seemed like really going somewhere? Somewhere important? Bedtime. Climbing trees, making forts. Making a coaster from orange crates and old skates. And I'll bet you some of you don't even know what I mean by a coaster. Backyard shows. lemonade stands, cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians, sitting on the curb just doing nothing. How about staring at clouds, jumping down the steps, jumping on the bed, pillow fights, slumber parties? Remember company when you had to mind your P's and Q's? Ribbon candy, angel hair on the Christmas tree? Remember when Mary Martin was Peter Pan? Jackie Gleason was the poor soul? White gloves? Remember actually walking to church? Or walking to the library? And sometimes it was quite a ways away. Sometimes it was on the other side of town. But we walked. Remember being tickled to death? Running till you out of breath and your side hurt. We called it a stitch. Remember laughing so hard that your stomach hurt? Remember being tired from just playing? Can you remember that? Not stepping on a crack, or you'll break your mother's back. Paper chains at Christmas. Silhouettes of Lincoln and Washington, the smell of paste, buck bags, and, oh yeah, evening in Paris. Remember crowding around in a circle for the after-school fight, then running when the teacher came? Remember being one of the guys in the after-school fight? What about the girl that had the big, bubbly handwriting? Remember her? She always dotted her I's with hearts. Remember bob parties, slam books, the stroll? Oh, yeah. Popcorn balls, sock hops, and hay rides. Remember when there were two types of sneakers for girls and boys? That's it. Keds and PF Flyer. And the only time you get caught dead wearing them anywhere was at school for gym class with those great blue and white gym uniforms. Or, if you happen to be on the basketball team, remember when it took 5 minutes just for the television set to warm up? If you got to watch it, and most of us didn't. Remember when nearly everyone's mom was at home when the kids got home from school? When nobody, and I mean nobody, owned a purebred dog? Didn't even know what one was. Remember when a quarter was a decent allowance and another quarter was a huge bonus? When you'd actually reach into a muddy gutter to pick up a penny? And you'd fight over a nickel. And here's a biggie. When girls neither dated nor kissed until late high school, if then. Remember when your mom wore nylons that came in two pieces? Remember girdles? When all of your male teachers wore neckties and female teachers had their hair done every single day and wore high heels? Remember when you went to the gas station? You got your windshield cleaned, oil checked, and gas pumped without asking for free every single time, and you did not pay for air? And guess what? You got trading stamps to boot, and you could save those and redeem some pretty valuable merchandise. Remember when laundry detergent had free glasses, dishes, or towels hidden inside the box? Well, I do, folks. I remember all of these things. Remember when any parent could discipline any child or feed him or use him to carry groceries, and nobody? Not even the child thought anything of it. Remember when pizza was not delivered and chicken was? In fact, I remember when nobody even knew what pizza was, never heard of it. But you could order chicken. Remember when it was considered a great privilege to be taken out to dinner at a restaurant with your parents and you dressed up for the occasion? When they threatened to keep you back a grade if you failed, and if you failed, they actually did keep you back a grade. Remember when the worst thing you could do at school was smoke in the bathrooms, flunk a test, or chew gum? And the prom was always in the gym, and you always danced to an orchestra, and all the girls wore beautiful pastel gowns, and the boys wore dinner jackets and paid for dinner. Paid for dinner. When a 57 Chevrolet was hot stuff, man, it was everyone's dream car to cruise the strip, peel out, lay rubber, or watch submarine races, and people went steady, and girls wore a class ring with an inch of rat's dental floss coated with pastel frost nail polish just so it would fit her finger. And if it didn't, she'd wear it on a chain around her neck. And nobody, and I mean nobody, ever asked where the car keys were, because they were always in the car. In the ignition, and the doors were never locked, and nobody ever stole your car. And you got in big trouble if you accidentally locked the doors at home because no one ever carried a key. Remember lying on your back on the grass with your friends and saying things like, "Hey, look, that cloud looks like a..." And playing baseball on the empty corner lot, or just out in an open field with no adults to help you with the rules of the game. You see, then baseball was not a psychological group learning experience. It really was a game. Remember when stuff from the market came without safety caps and hermetic seals? Because no one had ever tried to poison a perfect stranger, ever. And folks, with all our progress, don't you just wish, just once, you could slip back in time and savor the slower pace and share it with the children of the 80s and the 90s? Because I got to tell you, missing all this, they're laboring under a tremendous handicap. Do you know people who still remember Nancy Drew, the Hardy Boys, Trixie Belden, Laurel and Hardy? Hey, how about Howdy Doody, Princess Summer Spring Winterfall, and of course, Buffalo Bob? And the Peanut Gallery, the Lone Ranger, the Shadow Knows, Nellie Bell, Roy and Dale, Trigger and Buttermilk. How many of you know what buttermilk even was? And I'm not talking about buttermilk in a glass either. As well as the sound of a rotary mower on Saturday morning, the one that you push. And summers filled with bike rides, treasure hunts, baseball games, bowling, visits to the local public pool. How about this one, folks? Eating Kool-Aid powder with sugar off the end of your licked finger. when being sent to the principal's office was nothing compared to the fate that awaited you at home. Basically, we were in fear for our lives, but it wasn't because of drive-by shootings, drugs, gangs, or anything else like that. Our parents and grandparents were a much bigger threat. And so we towed the line. And we all survived because their love was greater than the threat. Doesn't that feel good, folks? Doesn't it feel good? And I'll bet it feels good to those of you who never lived through it. Just hearing about such a time. Just to go back and say, yeah, by golly, I do remember that. To the hour of the time, I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. Stay tuned, folks. Now, folks, I'm going to do a tribute here to an old friend. I'm going to say something now that's probably going to baffle some of you, but it's the truth. Not everyone who was killed in Vietnam died in Vietnam. I'm going to say that again. Listen to me very, very carefully. You're going to hear a little bit of truth now. Not everyone who was killed in Vietnam died in Vietnam. I think you know from my past broadcasts that I've been looking for my old crew members and the guys that served in my unit, whether they were in my crew or not. Guys that were in the Dong Ha River Security Group and River Division 543, anybody stationed at NSA, Naval Support Activity Detachment at Qua Viet, any of the guys I met on the LCUs, the YFUs that brought supplies up from Da Nang to Dong Ha and then back down again on a return trip carrying broken tanks and blown up amphibious armored vehicles and rotating Marine units. Members of the 1st Marine Division that I fought with. Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, was with the 1st Marine Division in I Corps. He was a recon. Marine recons are probably the best trained fighting force on the face of this earth when viewed as a legitimate infantry military unit. A recon is sort of the Marine version of the Navy SEALs. But don't make the mistake of comparing the two. Because if you do, you're going to get into a fight with one or the other, and you don't want to do that, I can assure you. Lewis was a Lance Corporal, and he was in charge of his team when it was assigned to my boat. That's how I met him. I went down to go on patrol that evening and was told that I would be assigned a Marine recon team from then on out. And the teams rotated. It wasn't always the same team. But the first team that was assigned to my boat was headed by a Lance Corporal whose name was Lewis Perillo. Now, I never got to know him really well because you tried not to do those things. Sometimes you couldn't help it and you became good friends with someone. And the reason you tried not to do it is because people died over there, and they died all the time, and you never knew who was going to be next. So you sort of insulated yourself. But he was a good man. He was a smart man. And he was a good soldier. He was a good Marine. I remember that about him very well. He had the respect of his men. He had my respect. When he was under my command, he performed flawlessly. I always called him Lewis or Lance Corporal, depending upon who was listening and what we were doing. His men, I remember, called him Einstein because he was so smart. He was on my boat for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then his team rotated, and I never saw him again. But I remembered him, and I was searching for him on the internet, and I just learned today that a few years ago, he committed suicide. I found a family member who sent me this poem that he wrote while he was in Vietnam and sent to his mother. You see, folks, not everybody who was killed in Vietnam died in Vietnam. I know the war killed Lewis. I know that. Now, when I first started reading this poem, I couldn't get through it. And I may have some problems now getting through it, but if I do, please bear with me, because I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for Lewis. And I want you to listen to this, because you're going to discover his heart and his mind and his bottomless, never-ending compassion and love for his fellow soldiers. He sent this to his mother. He wrote it in Vietnam. I haven't even started, and I can feel the emotion welling up in my chest. Here's what he wrote. Dear Mom, this was my best that day. Dear Mom, I held him in my arms like a father holding his newborn son, proud and afraid. I was afraid that he would die before I had a chance to tell him what he needed to hear. He looked up at me and smiled, trusting me, believing in my strength and courage. Believing that I could carry him to safety, I lied to him. I told him fairy tales, stories I heard as a child. He looked at me and listened. His eyes filled with wonder and hope. He was innocent and pure. A child cradled in the arms of weakness and doubt, swaddled in trembling fear and desperation. His eyes closed slowly, and his arm slipped off my shoulder. It hung limp and lifeless at my side. His body draped over my arms like a green shroud. Relaxed and rested, shed its bone tired weariness and final fear. He was asleep, peaceful, eternal sleep. He was no longer troubled by the thoughts of war, the fear of death. I laid him on the ground in a soft bed of blood red dirt. I removed my flak jacket and placed it under his head for comfort. I pulled a canteen from a pouch on my web belt, unscrewed the cap, and poured some over my fingers. I touched his eyes, hands, and boots with my wet fingers and mumbled this simple prayer. I give up to you this innocent child, God. My arms are tired. He is too heavy for me to carry. Forgive this man and take him to his final resting place beside you. I scooped up a handful of dirt and sprinkled it over his body, burying him deep in my memory. Like me, Mom, he's just 18, alone and frightened and afraid of dying. That fear is over. A voice called. I picked up my rifle and ran for cover. This was my best that day. Mom. Your son, Lance Corporal Louis Perillo, United States Marine Corps, 1st Division, Vietnam, 1969. Well, folks, that was tough. That was really tough. Heard the bugles refrain at military funerals are on television. If you've never been to a military funeral, called TAPS. It's the song that gives us that huge lump in our throats and usually causes tears to stream down our face. But most people have never heard the story behind TAPS. It began in 1862 during the Civil War, when Union Army Captain Robert Ellicombe was with his men near Harrison's Landing in Virginia. The Confederate Army was on the other side of the narrow strip of land. During the night, Captain Ellicombe heard the moans of a soldier who lay severely wounded on the field of battle. Not knowing if it was a Union or Confederate soldier, the captain decided to risk his life and bring the stricken man back so that he could be treated, so that he could receive medical attention. Crawling on his stomach through the gunfire, the captain reached the stricken soldier and began pulling him toward his encampment. When he finally reached his own lines, he discovered it was a Confederate soldier, but the soldier was dead. The captain lit a lantern and suddenly caught his breath and then went numb with shock. In the dim light, he saw the face of the soldier. It was his own son. The boy had been studying music in the South when the war broke out, and without telling his father, the boy had enlisted in the Confederate Army. The following morning, heartbroken, the father asked permission of his superiors to give his son a full military burial despite his enemy status. His request was only partially granted. The captain had asked if he could have a group of Army band members play a funeral dirge for his son at the funeral. The request was turned down, since the soldier was a member of the Confederate Army. But out of respect for the father, they did say they could give him only one musician. The captain chose a bugler. He asked the bugler to play a series of musical notes he had found on a piece of paper in the pocket of his dead son's uniform. This wish was granted. The haunting melody we now know as TAPS, used at all military funerals, was born. Most people have heard the bugle's refrain, but they've never heard the words. For Lewis and Robert and all the other men who died in Vietnam that I knew and that I did not know, and for those who were killed in Vietnam but didn't die until years later, here's the words to TAPS. Day is done, gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well, safely rest. God is nigh. Fading light dims the sight, and a star gems the sky, gleaming bright. From afar, drawing nigh, falls the night. Thanks and praise for our days, 'neath the sun, 'neath the stars, 'neath the sky. As we go, this we know, God is nigh. I've heard that refrain from a bugler's lips on a hill many times, but this is the first time I've ever seen or sang all the words to the song. I didn't even know there was more than one verse. I also never knew the story behind the song, and I didn't know if you had either, so I thought I'd pass it along. The story was contributed by Chuck Metzler. A sailor who was attached in Vietnam with River Division 594. I didn't know him. Thank you. To the hour of the time, I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. And open the phones now. And you don't have to stick on this topic. Not required. The number is 928-333-4578. That's 928-333-4578. Once again, folks, 928-333-4578. Write the area code number down. It's new. And if that doesn't work, you can try 520 still and see if that works. If not, go through the operator. Usually when they change area codes, there's a lot of problems for a while. And that seems to be what's happening here. So if you want to call, go through the operator, and you should get through. We'll be right back. apparently folks are having a lot of trouble with this new area code. I called the operator today and asked him what was going on, why nobody could get through. Because I haven't received any calls from anybody. That's very unusual. And he was exasperated. He said he didn't know what to tell me. So we'll see what happens. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, how are you doing, Bill? Good. I must say, you've had quite a touching show tonight.
Well, I had to do that.
Yeah, and I must say, I really enjoyed your repeat yesterday also on the income tax. You dug up a lot of interesting information about that.
Repeat on the income tax yesterday?
You were talking about the 19 points on, why there shouldn't be, why the income tax is unconstitutional and so forth.
Oh.
Was that last night or the night before, I guess?
Well, I don't know now.
Oh, I guess Alan Wiener must have put it on or something. I don't know.
Yeah, probably did, because I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, I see. But, I've talked to you before on the air about, for a while I thought that the flat tax was the way to go, but it's kind of ridiculous, just thinking about it again, because...
It's unconstitutional.
It's unconstitutional also, like the income tax started in this country when it started in 1913, it was only 1%. It was supposed to be, to soak the rich and so forth, and it was only 1% of everybody else. If a flat tax started out at 17% or something, who knows, like 10 years later, it might jack it up to 25% and then like 30%, and then, we'll be back to the drawing board,
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. But why even talk about it when it's unconstitutional?
Right, right. And I think that show that you did with the 19 or 20 points, you did so much research on it that it blows it away,
Yeah, well, that's why Clinton called me the most dangerous radio host in America.
No doubt about that. I think you earned that episode for sure.
Well, it's the best compliment that was ever paid to me. I'm very proud of that. But
okay, Bill, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
928-333-4578, or you can still try 520. And if you can't get through on either one of those area codes, go through the operator until they get this. You might put some pressure on the operator, too, to get this area code stuff straightened out. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Bill. Randall, South Dakota.
Hi.
Hey, over the years, it just amazes me all the things that we've heard on shortwave. None of it ever came true. It's almost mostly disinformation out there.
Most of it is. What, can you give us some examples?
Yeah, I can give you a whole lot of them.
Go ahead.
I had a friend one day, he said, have you heard that the winter wheat crop has failed 2 out of 3 years? I said, who told you that? He said, oh, it's true.
No.
But he heard it on one of the shortwave programs.
Yeah, what else?
Oh, and well, most of this chemtrail stuff.
Yeah, it's total lies.
Total lie.
Yeah. How about Y2K?
Yeah, that's another one they pulled on us.
Remember the time when the Russians had launched nuclear weapons at us? And everybody was supposed to run for the hills? And how about the time when the Army and Marines were going door-to-door in the southeast United States confiscating everybody's guns? I could go on and on and on. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yep, been a lot of them. Hey, one thing I've noticed, I've worked as an aerial applicator for 20 years, and these guys, they come up with these stories, they say, oh, there's 747s, and they tell the story about the lady who wanted to go to the bathroom, and oh, the stewardess said, oh, you can't use that bathroom, that's the chemtrail bathroom, you have to use the other bathroom. And they said, oh, we've got pictures of it. I said, well, where are the pictures? No, they don't have any pictures.
Yeah, it's a lie. The whole chemtrail thing is a lie. The whole contrail thing is a lie. It's all a lie.
Yeah, I asked them, specific details. I said, well, how do you get chemical to run out of an airplane? What do you have to do? Oh, they drill a hole through the side of the airplane. Well, all these big airplanes are pressurized. They're drilling a hole in it.
Yeah, and then they probably got somebody there unscrewing bottles and pouring it out through the hole or something, right?
Well, I asked them, I said, hey, I've been a commercial pilot for 20 years. The big problem with jet fuel is that it'll freeze up if you expose it to the outside air. The temperature up there is 40 below zero. Of course, diesel fuel freezes like at 10 or 20 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, they're running it through the engine. That's how they're doing it, Well, not likely.
No. Nope. Nope, not at all.
Hey, something I would suggest for all your listeners is to read The Art of War by Sun Tzu.
Oh, I've recommended that to them many times over the years.
Hey, that is absolutely fantastic reading.
Yep, it is.
And it gives you a whole new outlook on what our enemies are doing to us.
I think it's on our website. I'm not sure. I remember we put it on there years ago when we first started the website, but I don't know what's still there and what's not. The website is so big now, I have no idea what's still on there and what's not.
Yeah, I've heard people on shortwave, some of these stations, they're recommending. I heard one guy recommending that you go out and buy all these old satellite dishes because you can use them as laser weapons.
Oh, give me a break.
Hey, I don't know if you ever tried to set up one of those dishes. I've got a couple of them. If you try to hit just a satellite up in the sky and get it to come in, if you mount it on a solid pedestal,
yeah,
you still got to be pretty accurate.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, you do.
Now, the idea of moving that thing around and using it is complete madness.
Yeah, you're right. Well, most of those people that you're hearing this stuff from are mad.
Yeah, I've heard these people say, oh, you can grow everything you need in a greenhouse. You don't have to buy wheat. You don't have to buy beans. You can grow everything you need. You can grow it in the garden, but not in a greenhouse. A greenhouse is too costly for a square foot to start producing, you know, like wheat and soybeans. It's just madness.
Yeah, that's true. You can't produce enough wheat unless you've got a large area to grow it in. I mean, you're talking about small seeds.
Well, you can produce an entire acre of wheat for $50. Why would you put up a $50,000 greenhouse?
Yeah, good.
Same thing out in the field for $50.
Good question.
It's just a bad idea.
Yeah, and you can grow wheat almost in many areas almost all year round by rotating the summer wheat with the winter wheat.
Hey, I think what we have to do in the Patriot community is try to teach some of these young people what not to do. Everybody will come out and say, oh, you got to do this, you have to do that. Mostly you have to be pretty careful not to get yourself into a tight spot.
Yep.
I know a lot of these guys who have moved out in the woods and thought they were going to be self-sufficient, and they shut off the telephone, they live in an old school bus. I don't know if you ever slept in a school bus. It's the hottest thing in the world in the day, and it's the coldest thing in the world at night. So if you have small children or old people, and they got to get in and out of a dwelling, a school bus is the last thing you'd want to try to put them in. That seems to be what they want to do. They want to live in the woods.
Well, they're not thinking things out. I mean, they'd be safer, and they'd be more comfortable, and they'd be healthier in a dugout with a sod roof than they ever will in a school bus.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to let someone else jump in here. Yeah, I got in relatively quick tonight. I've tried a lot of times in the past.
Well, good. Thanks.
Really busy.
Thanks for calling.
I got in on the 928 number.
I think the 928 number and the 520 number are just working in certain areas. And I think they've got the system all screwed up. 928-333-4578 is the number. If you can't get through on that number, try 520 because it's still working in some areas. And if you can't get through on either one of them, go through the operator. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Yeah, I was walking around Albany, New York today, downtown area, the old area, and you talking about the Civil War made me think about what I was thinking about today. I was looking at the old part of the town, and there's a lot of stone and buildings, brownstones and stuff. And it occurred to me that the people that built them were pretty fabulously wealthy for their day.
Mm-hmm.
And my assumption is the dates on all the buildings is it was immediately after the Civil War.
Yeah.
And, of course, during the Civil War, Lincoln tried to, as the show that you had running there the other night, Lincoln tried to put through a income tax, basically.
Yes.
To fund the war.
Uh-huh.
And then you look at the what happened in 1913 with the Federal Reserve System and the income tax, and that was immediately prior to the run-up to World War One. And my assumption is that the government at that time pretty much knew that we were headed for war and that they were trying to gear up to finance that. And then we come around to the beginnings of World War II, and, you know, we had a really big financial crunch, and in a lot of senses it was a big reordering of society. A lot of the, I don't know, people refer to them as the old guard, whatever, the income tax, or the changes in the economy that came in then. A lot of people fled offshore with the big fortunes, and it makes me wonder, you know, when we talk about the income tax, that really it's a tax to build a military machine.
No, it's not.
No, okay, explain to me how I'm going
wrong. It's an unconstitutional theft of the wealth of the nation.
Well, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that.
It was the instrument they used to grow government into the monster that it's become today.
Right. You know, I've heard you say before that, you know, you don't necessarily think the cabal of people who have brought a lot of these things about are necessarily evil.
No, that's not what I said. I said they don't think they're evil.
I see.
They don't believe that they're evil. They believe that what they're doing is in the best interest of mankind. I've talked to them face to face. I see the sincerity in their eyes. But you have to understand, they've led sheltered lives. And they look at us as barbarians that threatens their wealth and their lifestyle. And they want to control us.
Yeah, I can definitely believe that. I mean, do you think that the reason that the income tax in the Federal Reserve System was instituted was in order to compete with the continental powers in Europe in the run-up to those wars?
No. You see, the Federal Reserve System could not exist without the income tax.
Right. I more or less understand that. But what I mean to say is, did the government and the people in control of the government want to be able to marshal resources to fight a war on the continent of Europe, and that's how they...
No, that had nothing to do with it. No. That had nothing to do with it. You see, the way you steal real wealth from people is you convert real money over a period of time to paper.
Fiat paper money.
To fiat. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you inflate this money, or this fiat currency, this paper. You inflate it, and you can cause whatever economic circumstances you want to exist to happen. And you can control and even steal the entire wealth of a nation.
Right.
Without investing anything yourself. You just need a printing press.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
Now, the problem with this is as they're doing this, the money builds up at such a rapid rate that it's got to be skimmed off the top.
Hence the income tax.
Hence the income tax. That's so that the people don't catch on to what's happening. If they didn't skim that income tax off the top, it would become very obvious to everybody within a very short period of time what's going on.
Yeah, I follow that.
In fact, right now, if they'd never had an income tax all the years that the Federal Reserve's been in existence, to buy a loaf of bread, you'd probably need $28 million.
Right.
That's what would have happened to the dollar if they hadn't been skimming it off the top. And it's still inflated.
Right. It's amazing to me, you know, the implications of the income tax and the fact that there must have been a time in this country well before I was born when there were people in localities that were virtually banks unto themselves.
Yeah, there were, but we're going to have to talk about it another night. We're out of time.
Okay, Bill.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
And for those of you in the Round Valley, this is the last time that you're ever going to hear 101.1 FM Eager. It's just become too expensive for me to operate this station, and I have absolutely no support from the people in this valley, except for two or three people. Two or three people in this whole valley have shown any support for the radio station. I'm not doing this with any malice or anything like that. I just can't afford to operate it anymore. It costs too much money. So, with this last broadcast on 101.1 FM Eager, 101.1 FM is no longer in existence. It will still be here. If I ever need it, again, it will be here, and I'll be able to go on the air anytime I want in case of an emergency or something. But for everyday broadcasting, I'm sorry. It's all over, folks. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. to worry, folks. You will still hear the Hour of the Time Monday through Thursday night on WBCQ International Shortwave Radio, 7.415 megahertz. That's 7.415 megahertz, 10 p.m. Eastern. You'll need a shortwave radio.